This afternoon, brothers and sisters, we open the Word of God in the Old Testament in the prophecy of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, the verses 1 through 19 is our scripture passage. Page 1381 in our Pew Bible, 1381. Daniel 9, this is the word of God. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belong shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and made yourself a name, as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, Incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. So far, the reading of God's holy word. This afternoon, our focal point is taken from Lord's Day 45, where we begin the Lord's Days on prayer. Page 57 in the back of our Blue Psalter hymnal. Page 57, Lord's Day 45. There we echo the word of God as follows. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God, who has revealed Himself in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask for. Second, we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in His majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. That is what He promised us in His Word. What did God command us to pray for? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord Himself taught us. What is this prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That is Lord's Day 45. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the third part of the Heidelberg Catechism, brothers and sisters, the part about our gratitude, we have come to the matter of prayer. Prayer is the most important part of our thankfulness, we confess. That's not our conclusion, but that's what God requires of us. Early in the Old Testament already, He showed how important this prayer is to Him. That's why it's important that we know how to pray. We need to know what belongs to a prayer that pleases God and is heard by Him. We have to learn how to pray. We need to join the disciples, therefore, in their request to the Lord Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. That request came after a time in which they had observed in Jesus' life how important prayer was to Him. When the Lord Jesus begins His work, His public ministry, beloved, at His baptism, we see that this happens upon His prayer. Luke 3, verse 21. Before he calls his disciples to follow him, he prays. Luke 6, verse 12. At the time he asked his disciples to tell him who they think he is, he just had prayed. Luke 9, verse 18. A week later, he takes three of his disciples along into the mountain when he is going to pray. Luke 9, verse 28. At all these occasions, he learns what he has to do. No wonder we read then in Luke 11 that the disciples ask him to teach him, to teach them how to pray. They'd come to see him as the son who does everything in consultation with his father. They realized that in his prayers, he enjoyed the communion as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's when he teaches them to say, "Our Father." That's how he expresses his desire that his disciples would share in this communion. In his high priestly prayer in John 17, he prayed the Father as well that his children would be able to share in the communion. He prayed as God's only begotten Son, his unique Son, who desires to become the firstborn among many brethren. Therefore, when we pray to our Father in heaven, beloved, we pray with Jesus, with his beloved Son in whom he was well pleased. Or to put it the other way around, when the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray, our Father, he comes to stand beside us, to pray with us, and to pray for us. Hence, when we learn to pray a prayer that is pleasing to God, we learn to pray in communion with God. For Jesus' sake, in his name, then we learn to pray for the things that are truly important to God. We learn to see our needs, our desires, and our priorities in connection with God, in regard to his name, his kingdom, and his will. That's because we belong to God. We have communion with God, and we want to live for God. That's why learning to pray is learning to live with God. Learning to speak with God. Come, seek my face, O Lord, so you have spoken. And in response, my heart says earnestly, your face I will seek. My vow will not be broken. Let's then thankfully use the Heidelberg Catechism for our prayer instruction, brothers and sisters. I take question and answer 117 as my starting point, and I summarize the sermon as follows. In our communion with God, we show our thankfulness in prayer. To God our Father, as humble children, for Christ's sake. So I summarize the message as follows. In our communion with God, we show our thankfulness in prayer to God our Father, our first point, as humble children, our second point, for Christ's sake, our third point. So we show our thankfulness in prayer to God our Father. Prayer, brothers and sisters, is our speaking with God. Now that Christ has restored the communion with God, we want to communicate with him. True communion is communication. That's what God wants. He wants to see us come to him, speak with him, and then especially give thanks to him. Indeed, prayer is not just speaking for the sake of speaking. But it is a response to God. Prayer is our thankful response to the fact that God is our God, that God has made us his own. So prayer is a reaction always, a thankful reaction from people who confess that they have been delivered from misery and death. That's why it's so important that we first listen to God, listen carefully to his word for us. Or as the Heidelberg Catechism shows us, then it is important that we first listen to the one true God who has revealed himself in his word. That's how the Lord taught his people in the Old Testament to pray already. The Jews, beloved, have organized the Bible in a special way. They divided the Old Testament in three parts: the law, that is Moses' special instruction in the first five books, the prophets, and the writings. In that third part, the book of Psalms is very prominent. Now, the Bible is the book in which the Lord shows what he is doing. He is the creator of heaven and earth, your creator. He also is your redeemer, your savior, who has come to you via Abraham, the people of Israel, and who spoke through the prophets. The Lord spoke to his people, gave them his promises. He raises his people as a father, educates them with his will, and calls them back to his laws. He does all that and much more by speaking to them. Then, just as we see that with parents speaking to their children, these children learn to speak back to them. That's what we see in the book of Psalms. That's where we see how the Spirit of God has taught men to respond to God, speak back to God, react to his work, to his will, and to seek him about their life. That's where we hear them respond with thankfulness and joy, in sorrow and in loneliness. There isn't a situation in man's life, in our life, or a feeling in man's heart, in our heart, or you will find it back in this book of Psalms. That's why the book of Psalms was known among Israel as the book of prayers. That explains as well why we read at the end of a section of Psalms of David, in Psalm 72, for instance, the words, "This concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse. For singing is praying, and praying is singing, praising, and thanksgiving." Therefore, the Lord loves to hear prayers, beloved. In the Old Testament, therefore, prayers were sent up with incense. It was pleasant for God to receive these prayers ascending to him like incense. The Lord desired this constant and living contact and communion. That's what he waited for as father of his people, the prophets told him. He was interested in his children, and he was pleased to see these children come to him as their father. "I love the Lord," the psalmist of Psalm 116 says, "for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. He turned his ear to me." God turned toward his praying child, so to speak, because he wanted to hear that response, his reaction, and his cry. Then he wants to hear our thankfulness first of all. Just as we give thanks immediately following the celebration of the Lord's Supper, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, And now, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Thank the Lord. That's not a matter of our feelings. Oh, that should not be dependent on our moods. No, God, our Father, wants to hear the thankful response to his work of salvation. We should know that. We should know him that way. So it is important to note, brothers and sisters, that the Heidelberg Catechism begins with the emphasis on our listening to the Word of God. For a good and pleasing prayer, we have to know the one true God who has revealed himself in his Word. That's why we should make time not just to pray every day, but also to listen to him, to read his Word. Then we can express in our prayer what we have learned about him, heard from him in his Word. You know, it happens so easily that we think that God should listen to us when we pray, but that we ignore to listen to him. Well, that's important because he wants to take you up into his communion with you. He wants to include you in his great work in this world. He wants you to hallow his name, and he wants to involve you in the gathering and increase of his church, in the coming of his kingdom, and he wants to see you do his will in your life, in your work, in your marriage, in your business, etc. That's why he wants you to come to him to respond to his call, to express your thankfulness for that privilege in your prayer. Then we learn from the Word of God, beloved, how the Lord wants to see us come regularly, and not just when we feel like it. The Lord showed this already to his people Israel in the wilderness. Every morning and every evening, the sacrifices and incense offerings had to be made. Pray continually, says the Apostle Paul. Give thanks in all circumstances, for that is God's will. Think of Daniel, for instance. He was in the habit of preaching to the Lord three times a day. He was known for that. Everyone knew that at such and such a time, he could not be disturbed because those were his hours of prayer. His enemies knew that too. That's a good directive for us today as well, so that we can begin the day with the Lord to thank him for another day, for health and strength. Also, in the course of the day, it is good to lay before him the matters in which we are involved and the help we need in our service to him. And then at the end of the day, it is so important that we reflect on our communion with him, that we tell him how thankful we are that we may belong to him, our Heavenly Father, our rock, our helper, our shelter, our advocate, our comforter, who is always there for us. Now, anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We read in Hebrews 11, verse 6. And how true that is, we also see in Daniel's life. What a beautiful prayer he prayed, beloved. We can learn a lot from him, I think. For what does Daniel do first? He reads the Word of God. He had been reading the book of Jeremiah. That's where he read about the 70 years of exile. And then he realizes that those 70 years must be almost over. Hence, he prays about it. Daniel prays with an open Bible or with open ears for the God of the Word. That's when he prays, appealing to this word, seeking the grace of God and the Spirit of God for the fulfillment of that word. That's what God wants in a prayer to God, our Father, our first point. We come to our second point. We show our thankfulness in prayer as humble children. God will give his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who constantly and with heartfelt longing ask him for these gifts and thank him for them. We confess in our Lord's Day. His grace and Holy Spirit, beloved, those are the two most important things we need right away in the morning already. Why? Because we have come to know our need and misery. That's why we seek the forgiveness of sins and righteousness in Christ. We confessed Lord's Day 44 last week. That's why we must humble ourselves before God the way Daniel did in our scripture passage. Of course, beloved, Daniel knows that the Lord is faithful and that he will deliver his people. Does that mean, however, that he just waits to see what comes? Does he await the future passively and, if possible, patiently? No, God wants to be prayed. Daniel knows that. He appeals to God for his faithfulness. Why? Because his people deserve it? On the contrary, if it were for God's people, he would have reason not to grant deliverance. There is so much in the way between the Lord and his people. They have forfeited every right of fulfillment. Yet, then Daniel prays for his people. Daniel shows his solidarity with his people, including the previous generations. We have sinned, he says. We have been unfaithful. We are covered with shame. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant for your sake, O Lord. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. You see, beloved, that's knowing your own need and misery. You put out your supplication and you know, I don't have a foot to stand on before God. That's how Daniel approached the Lord in prayer. Or David, O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. Psalm 143. We need God's grace. And so we should make that a part of our prayers too, every day. We need God's Spirit too, as we have seen in Lord's Day 44, for even the holiest have only a small beginning of the new obedience. And then we don't resign to that fact. Rather, we pray for continued renewal. We desire progress in our life as God's children. Then we approach our God and Father as humble children, who know their shortcomings and sins, and who plead with him. Father, we cannot do it, but you can. Give us your grace. Give us your Holy Spirit. And then we may count on the Father's hearing of this petition. Ask, and it will be given you, the Lord Jesus says. And that may not apply to all our wishes and desires, but that certainly applies to the prayer for His grace and Holy Spirit. We may live with the Lord our God in communion, beloved, but not without His grace. We may live in dependence upon the Lord our God, but not without the Holy Spirit. We have to know how much we need them both. We have to admit that we cannot do without. We cannot save ourselves. We may come to our Heavenly Father with everything we need for body and soul, spiritually and physically, we confess in our Lord's Day. Then you should go on your knees to lay your struggles with sin before Him and tell Him that you want it to be different so badly. Also tell Him about your doubts, your questions, your disappointments, and that you need His Spirit to shed the light of Scripture on God's ways with His children, to comfort you, to encourage you. Plead with Him for His other children as well, for His grace for those who are straying, for His Spirit for those who are grieving, suffering, and struggling in their life of faith. Yes, go on your knees for that, as His humble child. That's the posture which expresses our humbleness. A scriptural posture, indeed. That's how you humble yourself before the Lord, making yourself small for the Almighty God, and you may count on His faithfulness and unfailing love. That's how we show our thankfulness to Him, brothers and sisters, because we know Him as a merciful God and a faithful Father. The Lord is pleased to see us come that way. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. You see, if that's how you approach Him in His grace, then He will also give you His Holy Spirit to give you a new life, to grant you a new beginning. And what a reason for thanksgiving that is. What a love that reveals, and how precious that makes the communion in which we may live with Him through Christ, our Lord. Which is our third point. We show our thankfulness in praying for Christ's sake. Although we do not deserve it, we confess in the third place, God will certainly hear our prayer for the sake of Christ our Lord. That's why we learn to pray in Jesus' name, believing as we may His promise that whatever we pray in His name, God will certainly hear. For the sake of Christ, who has opened the way to God's throne of grace, we may count on the Father's hearing of our prayers. No one comes to the Father but by me, the Lord Jesus has said, to encourage us that there is a way to the Father. Communion is possible, though, only through Him. Forgiveness of sins is possible only for Christ's sake. What a comfort that is when we have made a mess of it again. How encouraging that is when we are struggling with our problems, our disappointments. Then we have a mediator in the throne with the Father who pleads for us. First, He made it good between God and us, and then He ascended into heaven to make intercession for us with the Father. Hence, we may be assured that we are praying under an open heaven. That's what he promised time and again, namely that he lives to plead for us every day without ceasing. It is important, brothers and sisters, that we show our thankfulness by such a prayer that is tuned into Christ completely, consciously. For without Christ, there is no communion. Without him, there is no contact or communication either. Then your prayer doesn't even make it through the ceiling. Of course, that's what the devil would like to see. He doesn't want this connection with Christ. He doesn't want his mediation. No, when we pray in Jesus' name, we confess that he is our Savior, our mediator with the Father, who made atonement for us and who made it good between the Father and us. And that's not something that we can say habitually. That's not something that will happen automatically. It's not enough that we just mention Christ's name and God will hear our prayer. No, then we should also want to live with Christ. Then we should also want to be delivered from these sins for which we seek God's forgiveness. When you want to hang on to your sinful practices, or you want to continue living for yourself, by your own will, for your own pursuits, it doesn't help to pray, "Our Father, forgive us our debts, your will be done." You see, beloved, when we live in communion with God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, we learn to pray to him saying, "Our Father," that is, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you love us as you loved your Son, the way you expressed it time and again when he was on earth, "In you I am well pleased. Hallowed be your name in our life." That's what we desire, namely that we may dedicate ourselves more and more to you. Your kingdom come. This world is not important, nor the life in this world, nor are we ourselves important, but you are. Your will be done, for you, your will alone is good, not our will. Give us bread for today. We'll see you again tomorrow. Forgive us our sins, for that gives us so much joy and thankfulness and such a sense of deliverance and freedom. Yes, set us free from every power of evil, from the evil one himself, so that we will be able to be totally devoted to you. But that's what we desire, to be a true child of yours every day, in everything, even unto everlasting life. For you are the living God, the only true God, to whom belongs all power and glory. Amen.